What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Bird, the podcasting coach here, and scaling a business is the thing we all have to think about doing because there's a limited amount of time we have each day, and in order to impact more people, we have to think of how can we scale our businesses without running into time limits, without running into flaws in the system. So that's why we're bringing on a guest who he specializes in scaling businesses to million-dollar enterprises. He's done this for himself a few times, and he has helped 15 people reach that millionaire status, and he's definitely going to be helping more people as well. So in case you didn't get the gist already, our guest is a serial entrepreneur who really helps people go from that business to that scalable, successful stream of income. And he went from just ideas to seven-figure companies in just 5 years. So to go from ideas to that type of success is really incredible. And he specializes in helping the underdogs start successful businesses. His upcoming book, Start From Zero, teaches entrepreneurs a new way to build businesses quickly without the risk from scratch. Our guest who joins us in this episode is none other than Dan Maxwell. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Quite an intro.
I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I mean, just this idea of being able to scale to multi-million dollar businesses. I mean, how did you do it with multiple businesses? Because it's hard enough to do it just with one.
It's much easier to go from 100 grand a year to a million than it is to go from zero to 100. 100 grand to a million is a field so many people play in, actually, because it's such a predictable process. Once you've got getting something working is the biggest pain. Once you've been able to experiment enough and fail enough and knock on enough doors and try and hammer a few nails and figure out what's the best hammer, what's the best nail, what's the best wood, what's the best everything, and then it just goes in every time you hammer it. Excuse me. Scaling from 100 grand to a million is pretty succinct, man. Like the nutshell of is a very clear defined customer, a very clear defined result, a very clear defined mechanism. Once you have those, you then tell stories of the customers who got results, and you tell those stories in a location where those people hang out. So, you know, if you were to do like with my first seven-figure business, it was transaction management. That was the mechanism. Clear customer was a real estate broker. Clear result was a mobile paperless real estate office. The clear mechanism was a transaction management platform. So the clear customer was real estate broker, 150 to 150 agents or more in their office. So we tell stories of other brokers who've implemented it, who've gone mobile, who've gone paperless, and we tell the stories of that. We did cold emails back in 2008 when it was a little more laissez-faire for that. But it's no different. When I scaled my second seven-figure business, it was the same process. It was a clear customer, was a starting entrepreneur. A clear result was financial freedom and time freedom. Or a six-figure business, or really it was just financial freedom. Kind of vague, but it still worked. And the clear mechanism was a training program on how to build a software business. We told stories of people getting those results in the channel of the podcast sphere. But man, it's almost so elegant. Man, my favorite example of the clear customer, clear result, clear. So, clear customer, clear result, clear mechanism. So if you back up, I really, really, really like helping people build businesses that they don't have to work in. Okay, so if in order to do that, you can't mess around, you can't be sloppy. And when you do work, you need to be really clear. So clear customer, clear result, clear mechanism allows you to lay a really solid foundation. If those are clear, then you can go to a million, no problem. But who's the customer? What the result do they want? And what on earth are you going to do for a mechanism? And how do you build a mechanism? You know, and then once you get all that, scaling is tell a story of a result in the channel where people hang out. Cold email, podcast, could be YouTube. You have breakthrough success. So people watching your channel are presumably interested in making a tangible reality out of their dream. And I'm quite bored of that process at this point personally, because it's so repeatable and easy to do. It's like success is like inevitable for me with almost anything that I do, that it's almost boring. I fail just as much, but I also understand that's part of the success formula, if you will. What I'm saying is, like, what if you imagine that you just guaranteed you're going to be successful? Like, guaranteed, like, you, from the day you start, it's absolutely 100% guaranteed you're going to be financially successful. Man, then you just kind of have fun, kind of relax, and success isn't this like arduous, ardent, painful, struggle, stressful process. But I mean, I know you're talking about scaling, so, but that's all you need to do to scale.
I mean, Dane brings up some really great points right away, where once you do hit six figures, it is easier to go to seven, because the knowledge to go from zero to six and the type of platform you have at that point, I mean, it's just a storytelling and spreading your message on different places, as Dane mentions. And with the fact that you take yourself out of the equation, that's how I can see that, you know, you can have multiple successful businesses. Like, If you have five businesses, which, you know, Dane, in his example, he has five successful businesses. If he is directly involved in all five of them all day, like someone producing a podcast or someone producing content, or, you know, like a heavily you are involved, it's definitely more difficult. And how do you find the right people to help you with creating that type of system where you don't have to be hands-on every day?
Look for them. People aren't even looking. Like, you're not even, most people aren't even looking for them. Is it, how are you finding them? Are you trying to look for them? No. Look for them. So, man, tangible example. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Let's say if you have clear customer, clear result, clear mechanism, you'll attract a great team. It'll be so clear. Take like Dave Ramsey, the big financial guru. Couples in debt, become debt free, the debt snowball, poof, fire, multi-million dollar business, hundred employees plus. Take Weight Watchers, women in their 40s, want to lose 10 pounds, count points. They're almost a $1 billion company. You get something that clear and you communicate that to an employee or a team member, they're like, dude, I want to work at that business. That seems so clear. It's not messy at all. So you get that foundation right. And then actually look for someone. And so what that usually brings up for people is they say, oh, you know, no one can do it as good as me, which I always tell people there's a lot of people that can do it way better than you. But yeah, man, look. Is that clear enough? Does that make, like, it almost seems stupid to say it so simply.
I mean, I like the idea of getting your foundation set up right first, and then it comes to looking for people with that solid foundation in mind, so that when people, you know, sometimes it could be a customer who buys product and is like, I want to work for this person. And yeah, if they like the foundation, they like your whole setup, they're going to fully embrace the work that you're doing. Now, I know I mentioned earlier in that intro, you helped 15 people become millionaires through your teachings. And I'm wondering, because I feel like anyone would want to reach that status, I'm wondering if you could share with us what really set those 15 people apart to achieving success. Did they pick the right niche? Was it something different? Like, what would you say really differentiated those 15 people from other people you've taught?
So let's just use like three examples of students of mine. So Sam Ovens was a student of mine. When he joined my program, he couldn't even afford it. His girlfriend had to pay for it. Now he's one of the biggest guys in his space. Let's take Chandler Bolt. He was in college when he joined my program. Now he's in Inc. 5000 fastest growing company. We're going to take Carl Mattiola. He joined my program as a Tesla employee and now has the number one fastest growing company in the physical therapy space. All three of these guys. So if we look at all three of them, one thing that Sam did really, really well is he read every book that I recommended. He highlighted sections from the books, typed up the highlights, printed out the highlights. And so he'd read four books on the same topic. And then he'd read out his printed highlights over and over again across four books. What that would start to do when you work that slowly and do things that slowly is you build very confident pattern recognition. Once you have that pattern recognition, you become very, very confident about what you're doing. That sort of confidence will attract great teams to you. But clear customer, clear result, clear mechanism, tell stories of the people getting results in your business relieves so much of the pressure off the entrepreneur because it becomes a customer-focused business. And a lot of entrepreneurs that I talk to are unknowingly in the technician trap trading time for money. But technicians trade time for money. Entrepreneurs trade time for equity. Entrepreneurs trade time for freedom. The technician, if you're caught in the technician role, then your business doesn't work without you. We want to build a business that works without you. So in order to do that, you work on two skills, selling and outsourcing. That's it. That's all you need. You could sell a pregnant woman an anti-nausea pill or drop to cure their nausea. And then you could find an acupuncturist or a naturopathic doctor or some holistic remedy maker to create your mechanism. Give them 20% of the business and you're good to go. You're in business in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, I just gave you a business. Pregnant woman with nausea, a drop that they can put under their tongue to help with their nausea. That's a full-on business. And it has nothing to do with you, and nothing to do with your desires, your passions, your thoughts, your personality, what's on your mind. It's all customer-driven. But if you look at most every billionaire, none of them got the way they were by doing what they thought would work. They did it by listening and giving markets what they solve the biggest problems. And like Bill Gates didn't get to decide operating systems were the thing. Matter of fact, one of Bill Gates' employees was working for Bill Gates and he found out that Doom, the video game Doom, was installed on four times as many computers as Windows. So that means the market for games was four times as big as the market for Windows. That guy left Windows and started Valve and made Half-Life. But he made Half-Life when he found the data of four times as many computers have Doom on it. He listened. He saw data. And Jeff Bezos did something similar when he started selling books on Amazon. He made a list of like the top 20 things that he could sell online. And then, you know, the books were the biggest seller of things online at the time. So he chose to open up an online bookstore called Amazon. But he didn't come up with that idea. He listened. So if you look at Sam, he listened to what people wanted. They wanted fast cash businesses. So he started consulting.com. If you look at Chandler, who has the self-publishing school, he saw that people wanted to become authors. So he did that. If you look at Carl, he saw that physical therapy practices wanted to get more physical therapy patients in their door. So he gave them that. None of them are doing what, quote, they wanted. All of them are engaged in the service of another human, and they're quite satisfied and quite content because it's very, very fun to run a business that works, especially when you've got a customer that loves you, a customer that's paying for the product. And when you start to think like an entrepreneur, more of a technician, that would be one distinction, right? Of the 15 millionaires, they think like entrepreneurs. They build equity every day. They don't trade time for money. They're not trading time for money. They're not getting their juice off being an expert like most people. It drives me nuts how much people's ego get in the way of their expertise. You know, if I said you were going to sit down in front of let's say something I haven't done before. Let's say people that have snakes for pets, right? Sit down with someone of people that like they love their snake as a pet. And they said, you know, you ask them about the problems they have with their snake. And they say, you know, it when it sheds, it like makes a mess all over the cage and I can't get the skin out. It stays and dies and smells and all this stuff. What would you do with that? You know, well, I'm not an expert at snake shedding. I don't know what to do there. And neither do I. But you don't need to. You don't need to understand the mechanism. You just hire that out. So Carl's not fulfilling his product. Chandler's not fulfilling his product. Sam's not fulfilling his product. And neither are the other 15 millionaires that I taught. And they're all in the business of, like, if you talk to Chandler, he's got two customers and they're so crystal clear. He's like, women over 45, men over 40. These criteria, these are my customers. The result they want is they want a book that's a bestseller that boosts their credibility and drives more revenue into their business. So my mechanism is the six-week program, self-publishing school that gets them to write and publish their first best-selling book. How could you screw up a business like that when it's that clear? You know what I mean?
And I really love how you break down, like, you know, thinking about what kind of person you have, like age, gender, some different things you're doing, and taking the time to listen. That was a big thing in all of Dane's examples. All the people took time to listen to create the businesses that they now have. And with the business, there is risk commonly associated with having a business. I like to think a job is riskier because you have, you know, all of your income's tied up to one thing for most people who have a job. But I know in your book, Start From Zero, you talk about a way of building businesses quickly without the risk. So what are some of the ways that you reduce risk? Because you could do market research and get a better idea of who your customer is, but there are still some risks that people can think of. So how do you cut down on that?
Clear customer, clear result, clear mechanism. If you screw up, like if could consider them a spinal cord. If a spinal cord is straight and aligned, it can hold a tremendous amount of weight. If it's off by just a little bit, the thing will collapse. So most people have a vague customer, a really wishy-washy result, and some glorized mechanism, if you could call it glory, you know. And, you know, like if you looked up, like, okay, like check it out. If I go, okay, I'm going to Google search, you can't see me, but I'll type this out. Top accountants in Chicago. Okay. You go to top accountant in Chicago and you see this first one. Okay. Jeffrey. And we go on his site and we click on website and, it just has his name, open until 8, make an appointment, a picture of him with his aunt here. I'll share my screen so you see this. It's got this, his name, make an appointment, a picture, updates, like, okay. This is, in my opinion, ridiculous. He's not speaking to a clear customer. He's got no clear result on this, and he doesn't even have a clear mechanism outlined. Imagine if you came to this guy's site and he says, are you a business owner? I help business owners save at least 10% more on their taxes. Imagine how much his business would explode if he just had those two things. You could even do it different. Are you a business owner? I help business owners save at least 10% more on their taxes with my very unique three-part tax saving system. And that would be the mechanism. This is one. Let's look up like to top attorneys in Chicago. You go to like, okay, let's go to the Zimmerman law offices. This is not too bad, right? You go to the top, it says, we get results case after case, consumer fraud, class actions, business litigation, professional licensing. Chicago attorneys representing plaintiffs and defendants. Not bad. I mean, we get results is good. This one's not too bad. And they're also targeting about their things. And then they've got the credibility indicators here. This guy's probably doing pretty well. In fact, I'd be inclined to call him sometime and be like, hey man, your marketing's like, oh, the front desk will answer. Say, hey, I've got a question for you. How many phone calls do you guys get a day right now of new client cases? Because I'm really impressed with your website. And they're like, oh, you know, we get probably 20 calls a day. And you're like, okay, now you have a template for what works. Okay, so now we know this works. Let me go. Let's look at Law Office of Andrew Weisenberg. 56 five-star reviews. This guy's probably got to get something going on. Aggressive, experienced criminal defense attorney. Not too bad. Don't play games with your future. Start here to begin building your defense today. Former Cook County felony prosecutor Andrew Weisenberg, like all these, like he's got social proof. This is not bad. It's not bad. Like if I was a criminal defense attorney, I might want to click on this. He's got all this stuff. Let's look up. So these attorneys at the top, they're not doing too bad, but they're not like wowing the crap out of me. If you do top chiropractor in Chicago. And then we look at Dr. Lori. We go to her website. And Alpha Family Chiropractic supporting spinal health. No, garbage. Okay? Absolutely. Now, this was not, no way. Like, supporting spinal health. Like, what do you mean? Like, she could find, like, okay, if she went through all of her customers for the last year and found out the customers that come in the most, that spend the most with her, and that she's the most profitable with, she could get a very clear customer from that. She could find that women between 40 and 60 come in almost every week, and they just tend to make way more money for her. So her clear customer becomes women 40 to 60, and it's based on what's working. And you can kind of see that based on this one here, except that might be her front desk lady because the next photo is a blonde, right? But like, if you come to a chiropractic office and it says, your neck or back will feel better, or the session is free, right? Speaking to a clear result, my neck hurts, my back hurts. Your neck or back will feel better, or the session is free. That would be speaking to a very clear result. So you see, you're like, business is risky. 90% of businesses fail, or whatever the percentage is. There's like, oh, 90% is a lie. It's only 60. Whatever it is, a lot of businesses go under. But then you look at them, and they're not speaking to a clear customer. They're not speaking to a clear result, and they have no articulated clear mechanism. Dave Ramsey is in the financial sector, the most competitive sector. And Mark, like, financial gurus, guy is so competitive, and he just cleans up. He's like number one podcast on iTunes almost all the time. And look what happens if you go to Dave Ramsey. Watch this. It's going to blow your mind, all right? Here we go. Dave Ramsey. Okay, so since it's tax season, he's got stuff on should you hire a tax pro or file tax on your own. I just knew there was a better way to do my taxes. This is not what I was hoping to see, because last time I saw, there was something way better in this crap. So usually when you go to date, but it's close. What he's doing since, what is the date? It's 2 months before tax season. So he's talking about the number one question his audience probably has right now is, should I hire a tax pro or file it on my own? He probably gets questions like this all the time. So he's coming in right on the where they're at. And then he's having a testimonial over here on the right. If you came here like a month earlier, it would have been a couple in debt holding a sign saying we cut down $40,000 in debt in 10 months. The clear customer and the clear result was right here. In fact, if I go to Wayback Machine, if I go to like Wayback Machine here and we go to DaveRamsey.com, let's just go back to 2019 and let's just click on April 28, 2019 and see what we get. So you see that this is one of the things that as a business you can do to immediately catapult. All right, here's not another. This one's not good either. So even Dave Ramsey's like, Dave, not that I know everything. I tend to know what really seems to stick for people. I've tested a lot of stuff. Let's do this. Let's just look at December 26th real quick. December 22nd. Cause I want to show you, and you know what else works really well? The guys that do this is Weight Watchers. If we go to weightwatchers.com, you'll see the result. Usually right up top here. Yeah. Okay. Georgia lost 122 pounds. Misty lost 35 pounds. It has nothing to do about the process. Nothing to do about the mechanism. The first thing they talk about is the result. Cut clear customer, clear result, right above the fold. It's a near $1 billion company. If we go to Dave Ramsey, son of a gun, that thing's still not coming up. I'm going to find it because it's going to be really, really useful when we actually do here. Let's go to January 15th. Look at how many times they update their website in January 5th. There's like 10 updates on January 15th alone. That's a lot of times update a website in a single day. But you see, clear customer, clear result. You could do this with accountants. You could do it with attorneys. If you're looking to start your own first business, you could just, I mean, imagine what replacing this with: your neck or back will feel better, or the session's free. Currently accepting appointments, call us now. Imagine just doing those three lines to a website, how much revenue that could drive for a business. I mean, here it is right here. This is the one I've been wanting to show you. So if you go to Dave Ramsey and you look at, like, you know, January 15th in the Wayback Machine, you see this couple, we're debt-free, $40,000 paid in 23 months. Clear customer, clear result. Now you go back, let's just go back one last time to the top accountants in Chicago. And let's look at this Jeffrey guy. And he's a sweet guy. He looks like a really amazing guy. Like, I love his picture. He's down to earth. He seems trustworthy. Like, I want to like him. But imagine if we came to Jeffrey's site and he had like pictures of three of his clients talking about how much they all saved in taxes. Clear customer, clear result. This is the stuff that builds seven-figure businesses. And it's really, really basic. And when you're talking about scaling a business, you really want to take the pressure off yourself as an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I think that almost all entrepreneurs struggle with is we all struggle with a little bit of depression sometimes. I think we all struggle with a little bit of overwhelm sometimes. Well, overwhelm's easy. I mean, who doesn't? But like, depression can seem to be more common than I would have thought with entrepreneurs. And it can come if you're like working on your website and you just can't get clear on it. And then like you're going back and forth and then boom, this sort of depression sets in. And it sucks. And to think about, like, when you think you got to be impressive and legendary and come up with all these shiny gadgets and bells and whistles that make you so unique, like you got to like figure out how to be the biggest, strongest, smartest person in the room. When no, if you just humble yourself, listen to someone, figure out the result they want, help them get that result, and then put pictures of them on the internet with the result, then you're just this humble servant really, really working to help people. And that idea that I talked about pregnant women with nausea, when my girlfriend was pregnant and I asked her, I said, so, hey, what's your most present problem right now? There's five questions you can ask to find really good, clear customer, clear result, clear mechanism. You can do a five question process to reveal all these three things. And I give this in the book, but we'll just do it right now. And then actually, I can actually just do it on you and we can see what happens. But here's an example works. What's your most present problem? How do you solve it? What happens if you don't solve it? What would your dream solution be, and would you pay for it? So I asked my girlfriend, what's your most present problem? Well, she's pregnant. She says, nausea. I say, how are you trying to solve it right now? She says, drinking tea, taking naps, laying down. What happens if you can't solve it? Well, she can't get to organizing the house because she's so overwhelmed. What would your dream solution be? A droplet that she could take in her mouth that would help with her nausea. What would you pay for that? $25. And I was like, would you pay more? She's like, no, I'm cheap. Ha ha. And then like a few minutes go by and she's like, you know what? I'd pay $50 for it, because if it's a droplet, it's so much easier than having to make tea. Making tea is such a pain in the butt. I'd love a droplet. So then I could go to Google and I could type in top acupuncturist on West Coast. So I'm going to go to the West Coast because that's a little more like innovative. And then I'm going to find these places that have the most Google reviews. I'm going to ask for the top acupuncturist and see if we can come up with some nausea remedy and partner with them on it. I don't have to create the product. But so that five question process, I asked my girlfriend, and my girlfriend gave me the seed of an idea that could probably be a $1 million business helping pregnant women with nausea. Come on, that would be incredible. Right? And then like, you could make an affiliate program for the women. So, you know, women are selling women about it, and then women are making money for their child. So like, you don't have to do the marketing. The women could do it for you and say, look at this nausea thing I'm taking. It's helping me so much. And then when people sign up for that link, women get paid, your business grows, everybody wins. The world's literally a better place because women can focus more. They have less nausea. They're generating income, which can provide for their future child. And you're this badass entrepreneur adding all this value because you just humbled yourself and listened and stopped trying to find what your unique area of expertise is, what your unique area of passion is, and you literally put that all aside and reduce yourself to zero and go out to serve. And when you do that, you stop trying to force things to work and you do the things that do work. Because I can tell you with Sam and Carl and Chandler, that those businesses that they're $1 million businesses, they're not their first business. they're not. They were doing all these little things and they worked a little bit, but along the way they ended up finding, oh, boom. Like Chandler, just people kept asking, how do you, because Chandler was just publishing books as a hobby while he was building his entrepreneurial brain. And people kept asking him, hey, how are you doing that? How are you publishing books? How are you publishing books? How are you publishing books? And so he's like, okay, people are asking for it. I'm going to give it to them. You know, Carl was sending out these monthly printed newsletters. He'd give a physical therapy business a newsletter that they could send to all their customers to stimulate business. And while he was doing that, it kind of worked. It was working all right. But then he found out they don't really need stimulation and referrals as much as they need new business. And they wanted, we want new business. So Carl then went out and researched and found the best way to drive leads into physical therapy practices, you know, heal your back pain without $50,000 surgery. What? That's a great offer. And then with Sam, he just saw that people wanted to make fast money with consulting. So he started teaching that. One of my businesses with one of my products, the Start From Zero book, is also a brand. It's got some courses and stuff. And one of the courses we made, I asked an employee, I said, what would be irresistible for you to buy? I just asked, what would be irresistible for you to buy? He's like, man, I just want to quit my job. I was like, is that it? He's like, yes. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm absolutely sure. I just want to quit my job. And so I was like, okay, I don't know how to get people to quit their job quick. I know how to build an entrepreneurial brain, and I can make those 15 millionaires, they do it in about 4 to 5 years. But that's 4 to 5 years, which is pretty remarkable considering the standard average of however many years. But in the grand scheme of things, if someone wants to quit their job, they're not thinking millionaire in 4 to 5 years. Now, what most entrepreneurs do is they're like, no, you should want what I have. You should want to be a millionaire in 4 years. They're like, no, I don't. I just want to quit my job. So I wasn't an expert at job quitting. You know, so I went out and found a guy. He's a father of six. He makes a minimum 20 grand a month doing Facebook ads. He's like, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I was like, do you want to teach what you're doing? He said, yes. So he's teaching the Quit Your Job course, Quit Your Job Fast course. We charge 3 to 5 grand for that course. I give him a 20% profit split on it. We take 80. He teaches. I do everything. We listen to customers. Expert creates product, partnered, win. I mean, if you're selling a $3,000 product, how many of those do you need to sell to have $1 million business? 333 some customers is all you need for $1 million business. My other business, paperlesspipeline.com, that's an incredible business. It's got a CEO that runs it. I don't touch manage it. It's pure passive income. It's completely passive income in the most lucrative business category of all. Software as a service is by far the most lucrative business category. Highest customer lifetime values, highest business valuations when it's for sale. It's not my opinion it's most lucrative. The average SaaS business sells for 3 times revenue. 3 times revenue. So if you have a $3 million per year SaaS business, you can sell it for $9 million. If you have a $3 million retail business, you can sell it for 3 times your profit, 3 times EBITDA. Fancy word for profit, form of profit. So let's say you have a $3 million retail business and you have $600,000 in profit per year. So you could sell it for 3 times $600,000. You could sell it for $1.8 million or $9 million if you just built a SaaS. And if technically speaking, building each business is relatively the same thing, clear customer wants clear result, hire out clear mechanism. It doesn't matter if you plug in software. It doesn't matter if you plug in retail. It doesn't matter if you plug in an information course. It doesn't matter if you plug in an acupuncture treatment for a pregnant woman. And now you see, as I start to kind of get in this stream of consciousness flow and you get me in front of enough students, enough of them implement this and we get enough millionaires happening. Cause they're like, dang it, I've been making this way too hard. I've been trying to become creative. I sit there and I scroll on Amazon trying to figure out a product to sell. No, if you focus on product, you're focused on mechanism. You're not focused on customer. You're not focused on result. You're not going to find anything worth. You might find something, but like you want to be innovative. You want to be, I guess someone asked me, they said, do you want it? Like, how do you become innovative and disrupt an industry? And I was like, I don't think in terms of innovation and disruption. I think in terms of clear customer and clear result. And that ends up being very innovative because I was at a chiropractor and I was in the back and the guy was like, all right, well, F you very much. Like, fuck you very much. And he hangs up the phone. I was like, I'm pretty sure he said, thank you very much. He comes back in the room. I was like, did you say F you very much? And he says, yes, I did. He hung up. He was so upset. He said, F you very much, and hung up the phone. He's like, I was talking to one of those insurance lines, and they make me wait on this line forever to get the information I need for my insurance. And I was like, well, what result would you want more than anything? He's like, I just need to know the result without talking to anyone. I just want the information. Great. Clear customer, chiropractic, clear result, instantaneous insurance information. That would be innovative for chiropractors. Now the mechanism, no idea. I'll hold that it's possible and beat my head against the wall until I either can or can't figure it out by hiring the right people. But if you look at like the best entrepreneurs that I know, they do not concern themselves with how the mechanism works. They concern themselves with clear customer, clear result. Whether it's Bill Gates and he's looking at Africa and he's like, poop's going in the water. People are getting dysentery. People are getting sick. So he's like, all right, clear customer. People in Africa without toilets. Clear result is poop doesn't go everywhere. Poop gets converted into energy. So clear mechanism needs to be a very innovative toilet. So then he puts out this petition for all these scientists to create a mechanism for him. This is how you build a business that doesn't work without you. And of the five businesses that I started, one of them made 50 grand. Another of them made like seven. The smallest one made 50 grand. The other made around 700 grand. The other made around 700 grand. The other, then those are done. And the other that's still alive is Paperless Pipeline. And that's at 2 million plus a year. And then the other one is Start From Zero. And that's my information education company to help hopefully inspire entrepreneurs to think in ways that create freedom and build businesses they don't actually have to work in. Hello, that's what we're trying to do in the first place, I think. And then I've got a very, very small software as a service business that I launched last year, which it's a piddly dink. It makes like, you know, 10 grand to 10 to 12 grand a year. You know, it's not, which isn't bad. You know, you put 10 to 12 grand a year in the S&P 500 and forget about it. I talked for a while. I appreciate you listening. What was that like to hear? Or like, how are you?
That was powerful. I mean, I don't really know what else to add. I mean, you hit on all the check marks. I mean, that thing with like, you hit on so many great examples. You did such great commentary, but the thing, clear customers, clear results. That is one of those sticking points that you heard all the examples of all stuff, but clear customer, clear result really breaks it down and has that easy takeaway. So, I mean, that was some really awesome stuff. I'm definitely looking forward to your book, Start From Zero. We'll have links and all that stuff. But do you want us to like, where else do you want us to go to keep following your work? Because was really awesome.
I mean, if you were like just 100% selfish and you like really like you know what I really want to know about? And I don't even know if I'm allowed to ask it, but I really want to know. Like, do you have a question that comes to mind? You're like, dude, what I want to know, like for your own life, for where you are right now, for what you're doing, or is there any question you have?
Wow. I mean, I feel like you hit on it very well. One of the things though, if you have too many, like if you have a lot of different types of customer, like if you want to target like author, speaker, coach.
Are these all your books behind you?
Yes, those are all mine.
My goodness. What's the most successful?
Podcast Domination.
Is it a pretty clean winner?
Yeah, pretty clean winner.
You know, you can't make this up and you don't get to decide what works, do you?
Nope.
You launched seven books?
That's all. I've done more than that.
How many have you done?
27 so far. I also teach self-publishing and that does well.
Yes. Do you know Chandler Bolt?
I do. I've known him for a while.
Cool. Yeah. We were on the phone when he was in my program and I was mentoring him and he's like, should I quit college?
Wow. You knew him that long ago. That's
cool. Well, yeah. I trained him at he lived in my house. Wow. Yeah. You get lucky enough to get people that are that brilliant come across your path and you can mentor them a little bit. Chandler's one of those people. Sam's one of those people. Carl's one of those people. They're successful folks no matter what they do. They just happen to come across your mentorship path. So 27 books and the Podcast Domination book's the number one?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is like if I get a new entrepreneur that comes to me and they say, so well, I want to start a business. What do I do, Dane? I said, well, first off, I want you to know the very first important thing you need to know is that you don't get to decide what. So if you don't get to decide what works, then what does that mean? That means we're going to experiment a lot. We're going to listen a lot. What's your second most popular book after Podcast Domination?
It's a mix, Content Marketing Secrets and YouTube Decoded.
Is there a theme between those three books that you think make them more popular than the others? What's the pattern?
Marketing, digital marketing, that area.
What do they ultimately help the person do, though? If they follow the book, what do they ultimately get at the end result? What's the clear result?
More visibility, more audience, more clients.
Which would get them what?
More revenue.
Interesting. Probably. Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I'm just thinking about this. Like, what would it, so content marketing secrets, more visibility, more audience, more revenue. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you see how like how sexy that would be as like a headline?
Yeah.
Are you writing it down?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So how about like this would be fascinating. And how about the podcast domination? What is it that you hear people say, I want this when they're buying that book? What is that? What are their words?
I have launch, grow, and monetize your podcast on the book right now.
Launch, grow, and monetize your podcast. And do you know if there's a deeper cut of why the podcast one seems to resonate so well?
I would just say it's like based on what I know, based on just how the book's been performing.
I have a theory on this. You know, I think that these courses, I think people have a pretty low self-esteem set point, but it's unconscious. They're not aware their self-esteem point is low, like in the area of business. They might have high self-esteem in relationship or something, but if they have low self-esteem in business, you'd say, oh my God, you could like start a YouTube channel. And they're like, no way. I'm not going to touch that. And then you say, yo, I've got this guy. He's dyslexic, special needs, mentally handicapped, and his channel is growing at 100,000 subscribers a month on YouTube. Now, all of a sudden, that same person might want to do YouTube. Because if that guy can do it, then I could do it, is what would happen in their mind. Because the self-esteem point is so low. So when I say build a software as a service business, people are like, bleh, nope, thanks. Too complicated. I don't know how to code. I don't know. Well, I didn't code it. I didn't do any of this, but fine. You don't want to get in. That's fine. I'll keep it all for myself. / no, I want people to know the benefits of SaaS. So I never say how to start a software business because it just triggers their fear and uncertainty. So podcasting and starting an Amazon store are these like beautiful little niches where like people are like, I could start a podcast. I could talk into a microphone and hit record. That can't be too hard. You know, oh, I could start an Amazon business. Just put the thing on Amazon. Amazon sells it for me. This ain't going to be too hard. So podcasting has that. Does that seem accurate to you? Or do you think I just, because that's just only a theory.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So podcast gives people with the unconscious low self-esteem, which I mean, I have, depending on the moment of the day. And I definitely had when I started my first business, my first products, I was like looking for something that like, that I thought I could get away with making because I had no confidence in what I was making. Like I went to real estate, Remax, and recruiting, niche, helping Remax real estate companies recruit with these little websites. And it's a six-figure software as a service business. And I didn't create the product and I listened to the brokers. They say recruiting's all I think about, Dane. You say, real estate broker, what do you think about on a day-to-day basis recruiting? Okay, great. I now know what to sell you. And so I made the recruiting product. But in terms of unconscious low self-esteem, if you've got that, all good. Now maybe you're just a little more aware of it. So podcast domination sells. You know, John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire is a good friend of mine. And he makes six figures a month selling people how to do podcasts. Pat Flynn, who's an acquaintance, we're not quite friends, but I've been on his podcast or whatever, we know of each other. He has a course selling people how to do podcasts. It does really well. And then like, you've got this podcast thing too. It's just like, they don't get to pick what works. We don't get to pick what works. And it takes a lot of humility to finally just be like, you know what? This is what people want. I'm going to do it. Like, dude, I've lost so much money by being arrogant. I even did it on this call here when I'm like, software as a service should be what you want. And they're like, no, I want to quit my job. And I'm like, no, you should want software. Like when we were building the foundation, which was is now startfromzero.com is a thing. And I got a special URL for your guys. Startfromzero.com/breakthrough. Startfromzero.com/breakthrough. And that'll give them a free book excerpt. So don't buy the book if you don't know if you're going to read it. I don't want you to buy the book unless you're going to read it. So go to that URL, skim the excerpt. If you like the excerpt, then pick up the book. I would be super grateful if you did. It means a lot to me. Put my heart and soul in that book and edit it 5 times, wrote it for 2 years. It's got 15 different examples of successful entrepreneurs in there, like all these weird niches, really cool entrepreneurs. I lost my train of thought, and I was going to do the 5 questions on you. I think we should probably end with the 5 questions, but if you can help me remember what I was talking about before.
You're talking about the podcast, and you're talking about the big thing. You said you don't get to choose.
Right. Okay. So, teaching people how to become coaches is like what people want in a lot of cases, like, oh, I can coach. And it's got the same effect of like the podcast or Amazon store. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I could talk to people on the phone and coach them through stuff. That can't be that hard. And so like, if I were like, you know, these people that make $1 million a month teaching people how to start coaching businesses, and I gave you guys all the methods you need to start a coaching business. Identify a clear customer, give them a clear result, and talk about the clear mechanism. You'll blow almost every coach away. You'll separate yourself from all the other coaches if you do that. So like, I could make buco bucks teaching people how to coach if I was listening, really listening. And it's true. I mean, it would be a much more effortless thing for me, but I guess I'm stubborn. So, and I guess I'll let myself have that maybe for a little bit longer. So that's something where I could have made millions and millions of dollars. If I was like, you know, everybody's wanting to do coaching. Coaching's all the rage. Coaching's very easy to sell. You know, I've got a client of mine. She's doing, her customers are people that suffer with religious trauma. So the clear result is to be deprogrammed of the religious shameful programming. Like, unprogram your shameful religious programming. Like, oh, that's gonna be great. And then her mechanism is a 12-week coaching course. And she's gonna do so well, you know. Okay, so the 5-question process I think would be really good to do. And then also and I walk through how to do the 5-question process in the book excerpt, startfromzero.com/breakthrough. Special listener only URL kind of thing for your podcast. So, question number one, mister, is what has been your most consistent and present problem over the last year in your businesses?
Is this for me or is this for my prospect?
This is for you.
All right. I would just say, you know, we all want to get more visibility and revenue, so just boosting those numbers. I feel like it's a lot of people, though.
Are you having trouble being vulnerable?
Not right now, no.
Okay. It'd probably be a hard question to answer if you were or weren't. So think about your businesses and like a problem that you like is actually a struggle for you. And it's been going on for like a year. Like over the course of the last year, it's like this thing, and it's been a consistent struggle for you over the last year. Anything come up?
Just like connecting everything together. I've gotten better at that, but that's still like one of the things.
Yeah, connecting everything together. And what does that mean?
Having all the platforms interact with each other and people bouncing around a lot more.
Example, what's an example?
Like doing Facebook Lives and like not having it as connected.
To what?
Like the YouTube stuff and everything else going on.
And what, good. And what is, and I'm asking you to be specific because that's what we need to do. What else? So like Facebook Live, it doesn't go to YouTube, like, where else does it not go?
Just like not yet with the email list, like getting people there. That'll be my main focus.
Not getting people to the email list?
Yeah.
So building your email list.
Yes.
Okay. So over the course of the last year, the thing that's been occupying most of your thoughts is how to build your email list.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, and for the most part, yeah, of course. And then and within that was the problem of like having different silos of like doing a Facebook Live and it doesn't go to YouTube and maybe it doesn't go to a podcast and maybe it doesn't correctly drive back to a landing page. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So how are you solving that problem right now? That's question two.
So I'm creating offers around things that are working the most and I'm incorporating that into my videos more.
Okay, so you're finding the hot offers and then you're giving those away as call to actions in your videos?
Yes.
And that's driving people to landing pages to enter their emails?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what I'm doing is repeating back, making sure I can understand the picture, what you're saying. Okay, so question three is, what happens if you don't really ever get this problem solved?
My audience like stays where it is for the most part and doesn't really expand from there.
Yeah, okay. That's no bueno. Right?
Right.
Okay, just make sure. It's like, no, it's fine. I don't care. Some people don't. Some people are cool coasting. Okay, so question number four, and I want you to get into a creative state for this. Like, this is like Mark's dream land. What would your dream solution be to this problem? What would it look like?
Passive email list growth, passive, like, all numbers continuing to go up.
Sounds so good. Okay, and question five is, would that be worth paying for?
Yes.
How much?
$500 to $1,000.
Cool. One time?
Yes, one time, unless it wasn't working. And it could get better.
Okay. So I love this. You, like, as you're speaking, so we've now got a product. And the headline is passive email list growth. Would that grab your attention?
That would grab my attention.
Good. I mean, it's a good headline. Passive email list growth. Grab my attention. And then, so here's what happens. Say passive email list growth. And then below that, it says, are you having trouble? Are you publishing content and having trouble getting people that listen to your content to go to a landing page and give you their email address? And you'd probably say yes. You like, as you're reading it, you would nod. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then it says, and are you trying to run Facebook Lives and wishing they would talk with YouTube and wishing they would publish with your podcast and wishing that they, that you could work once and have it go everywhere? And would you say yes?
Mm-hmm.
So with our unique system, we know how to discover the secret cravings your audience has. So you know exactly what to tease them with. And we have a one published system where you can produce the content once and have it distribute everywhere, all from one location. So you can distribute all your content work once and distribute it. And you can also be sure that the offers you're putting out are going to drive the highest number of emails to your list. And it's yours for $500 to $1,000. Would you pay more for it after hearing all that? Or does that still seem right?
That seems right.
Okay. And so now I would need to start brainstorming. So Mark really wants passive email list growth. I love that. And there's a lot of people selling email list courses on the internet because a lot of people are interested in this email. I don't know if anybody's ever used a headline, passive email list growth. But I didn't get it by being innovative. I did it by listening to you and asking questions. So now I've got Mark wants passive email list growth. And so now I'm thinking about, and he also wants to like work once and get it published everywhere. So maybe Zapier could do it. Maybe there's all these, who knows? Like, but then now we need to figure out the most effective way for him to learn what his audience wants and what he can offer for email opt-ins. So we got a process that would do that. And so I'd have to research how that might work. And then we'd end up putting together this thing. And then We'd have you join, and then 90 days later, we'd ask you how many emails you generated in the last 90 days from this, and we'd start getting our results from Mark Guberti. Is it Guberti?
Yeah.
And we say, Mark Guberti wrote 27 books, and this guy knows his stuff, and he signed up for our product, and he was really frustrated with his email list growth. And after that, he has passive email list growth. In fact, let's hear from Mark. And then Mark's like, you know, in the last 90 days after implementing this system, my email list growth has gone up by 4,500 new email leads per month. And with an email, with a value per subscriber of $1 per email, that's effectively growing my revenue over $4,000 per month just by implementing this. This has been a no-brainer. Now we've got your story and it goes poof, everywhere. Now you see making $1 million businesses, in fact, quite easy if you've taken the time to build your brain, right? If you read Start From Zero, you'll get this over and over and over again. And you'll realize you'll never, ever have to be poor. What do you think of that process?
I thought that was a good hook.
Which hook? Which part?
I'd say all of it. I mean, it was just very well presented.
I was just listening to you. I mean, I have copywriting training. But there we are.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that, I mean, that was very, like, I feel like you could see how the exercise when you do it really helps you have that new perspective as to different things you could research, different types of products you could create, different people you need to connect with. And I do appreciate you for sharing that with us and all the insights throughout our time together.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for giving me a voice on your podcast.